The Word of God is from John, the Gospel according to John, chapter 1, beginning with verse 43. If you are able, please stand for the reading of the Gospel. This is the Word of the Lord. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," Philip said. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." And then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." He then added, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. This is the word of God for the children of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Yeah, Jesus called his followers, ordinary people like you and I. He'd come by and he'd just say, "Follow me." And says that they left what they were doing. They left their livelihoods and everything, and they went and followed Jesus. Probably drove some of their friends and their families crazy. No doubt it wasn't an easy thing to do either. But it's not easy answering the call that God puts on our lives. And I'm going to share with you something that I've shared before. Today's lectionary reading, though, is about Jesus calling his followers. The Old Testament was about Samuel and how he was raised in the church. And one day God calls him and he goes to Levi three times. Kept saying, "What do you want? What do you want?" And Levi, who was the high priest in the temple, realized that it was God who was calling Samuel and told him to. Next time you hear that, you say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." That call comes in all kinds of different ways. Never easy. You know, as most all of you know, if all of you don't know, I mean, I was raised in Port View. Born in McKeesport Hospital, raised in Port View, and Dad was a policeman, and I had two brothers, and I had two sisters and a brother at the time. And when I was 17, my dad had another one, and I got a little brother down in Florida. But we went to the Catholic Church, St. Joseph Roman Catholic Church. Catechism on Saturdays, Mass on Sundays. How many people here went to Catholic Church catechism? Remember this? Catechism. Oh, boy, them nuns were tough, man. They were tough. And we went there until I was 13. And at the age of 13, me and my siblings, like, we got away from church for some reason. We didn't go for almost a year. And Mom and Dad said, "Hey, you kids got to go back to church." You know, Dad came from a staunch Irish Catholic family. Mom was Methodist, though, but she signed a paper that said she would raise us in the Catholic Church. So when I was about 14, we started attending. They gave us a choice, either back to the Catholic Church or the Methodist Church up on the hill. And the Methodist Church meant that we had to go Sunday morning to Sunday school and then stay for church, which meant that we didn't have to go to catechism so we could watch cartoons on Saturday. So we decided to go to the Methodist Church. That was the only reason. And of course, Of course, in the Methodist Church, you know, at the age of 14, I have a very definite image, picture in my mind of being inside of a tent, and outside the tent is the youth pastor, Dave Herman, and we're putting it up. And I said to him, you know, Dave, one day I'm going to do this. And he said, do what? And I said, one day I'm going to be a pastor. I don't know why I said that. I don't know where that thought came from. It just, I love church more than my siblings did. I just, Reverend Hugh Ashby was tremendous. And I had a couple of Sunday school teachers who were wonderful. And I loved being in church. And I would have these crazy conversations with God during the night. I'd be out walking in the woods talking to God, and I just loved talking to God. And pretty soon, as I grew older, strangers were telling me, you ought to think about going into the ministry, because I'd get into conversations with them on the roads, and family and friends, they'd every now and then would say, you should go into ministry, and it just kind of boggled my mind. I mean, I loved church, but you know, I was too busy playing baseball and chasing girls to bother going into the ministry. After Bonnie and I got married, we were looking back at some old family video when the kids were little, and boy, I was preachy. Can you imagine that? I was preachy. I was already preaching back then. I didn't even know I was going into the ministry. But it wasn't easy. I mean, one day, I'm sitting in charge conference at Portview United Methodist Church, and District Superintendent Jay LaVon Kincaid says that God calls men and women just like you. And I mean just like you. God calls men and women just like you to go into ministry. He doesn't have a factory out in Hershey, PA, where he stamps out pastors. I remember him saying that. Everybody chuckled. But the whole time he's talking, there's a spotlight on me, and all around me it's all blacked out. And I knew that I knew that I knew at the age of 35 that it was time to go into the ministry. And I went home and I told Bonnie, what would you say if I said, I think God wants me to go into the ministry? And she said, well, you know, the mills had gone away. We were deep in debt, and we were renting this house across the street from my mom and dad, and I had a full-time job at Jefferson Hospital in charge of the linen department and benefits. And she says, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. We're starting to get caught up on our bills. It won't be easy, but you're my husband. I'll go wherever you lead. And so Sunday I went to my pastor, Herb Clore, and told him. He was excited, and we started the process, 2 years of interviews and studies and paperwork and everything. And then one day I get appointed to Rogersville United Methodist Church down in Greene County, west of Waynesburg. Little village, 10,000 a year, 4 kids, food stamps, access cards for medical treatment, and driving junk. But we were excited, because we were in ministry. But it wasn't easy living in a fishbowl. For 3 years, I went to Waynesburg College, and I got my degree in psychology. And it was hard taking care of one church, 4 kids, me and the wife, and not making much money. And then started seminary, 4 years of leaving Monday morning, driving 3.5 to 4 hours out to the middle of Ohio, to the outskirts of Delaware, Ohio, north of Columbus, where I went to Methodist Theological School in Ohio for 4 years. Drive out Monday morning and come home Thursday, sometimes Friday, and missing everything that was going on. And it was really hard. It was really hard on Bonnie. It was hard on the kids. And then when I'd get home, I would take care of the church. And I had 2 churches then. And I sacrificed Bonnie and the kids. And my kids rebelled like crazy. I've shared this story before. My oldest son became very withdrawn, mean to his siblings, destructive to property. My next son was he was out of the house a lot, just quietly rebellious. My daughter, crack cocaine, heroin, illicit sex, booze. She was a mess. My youngest son just cussed me up one side and down the other, took a few swings at me, hollered and screamed. And every one of them asked me, "Dad, why aren't you there when I've got a play to do, when I'm singing in the choir, when I'm at wrestling or I'm at basketball or I'm at football? How come you're not there to see what I'm doing? Why do you have to be gone? Why do you have to be so tied up in the church?" And I said, when God, the creator of the whole universe, calls you, how can you say no? I said, I can't. I cannot say no to God. And it was hard. It was so very, very hard. It was hard on Bonnie, just being in the ministry and taking care of those kids while I was gone. And on top of that, she had to battle depression and migraines. And God's call comes with a price. God's call is not easy. But it's God. And when you recognize that it is God calling you to get involved in something, you have to step out in faith. You have to do what God calls you to do. God will bless you for it. God will bless you for it. And, you know, we managed to get through all of that and survive that, as difficult as it was. And as you all probably already know, that, you know, today my three oldest kids are United Methodist pastors. And my youngest son is working on his second master's, lives up in Vermont, and he writes curriculum in that for the foster care system, teaching adults how to be parents. Wonderful children. And, you know, my three oldest all came to me when they came to me to tell me they were going into the ministry. They said, "We understand what you were saying, that God called you because God is calling us." I tried to talk them out of it. You know, I wanted them to be doctors and lawyers and, you know, so they could take care of mom and dad in the fashion to which I'd like to become accustomed. But they said they were called by God. They assured me that's what happened. There was a man, when we first announced in Port View that we were going into the ministry, there was a man who came to me, just a couple years older than me, and his name was Ron. He was a manager at a car dealership, and he said, "Bruce," he said, "I got something to tell you." He said, "I was called into the ministry." He said, "I became a student pastor." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "And we had a church over there by Stringtown." He said, "But Cindy," his wife, whom I graduated with from high school, she didn't like being in the ministry, and she talked him into leaving the ministry. And he said, "And it's the worst thing that I ever did." He said, "Because I got a hole inside of me. I got the feeling that there's something that I haven't done that I need to do." He says, "And it's that call." He says, "Never turn your back on that call." It's not easy. It called for sacrifice on everybody's parts. All the disciples who were called by Jesus had to give up their vocations and their families and that. And they followed Jesus in spite of the toughness of it, the persecution, the stress. And I stand up here today, I've been doing this for 24 years. I still don't get it. I'm still surprised that I'm standing up here talking to all of you. Man, I can just chat away and just chat away. I can just go. I'm in this position of authority, and it boggles my mind. How did this happen to me? Because I have always felt like I've just been along for the ride. And I'll tell you, it's the call. Because God doesn't call the qualified. God qualifies the called.
And if you are willing to step out in faith and get involved in whatever it is that God's calling you to do, you don't have to worry about the results. The results aren't up to you. All you have to worry about is fulfilling the call that God has put on your life. It might be something minuscule. It might be something life-changing. Maybe God's calling you to be a missionary, to maybe to come into ministry, to be a certified lay minister. Maybe God's calling you to be a worship leader or choir, sing in the choir. Maybe God's calling you to be part of a committee in church or to start another committee. We just had a young couple, they came to the first service, they're not here. Ann and Shelby, Ann is our public relations person now. And Ann, he's got these wonderful ideas about doing videos. He's going to do videos of church and put them online and take pictures and put them online. And he wants to do some video blogging with me and put that online. He's excited about advertising, and he felt called by God to do it. Well, Shelby feels called by God to do a prom night for people with disabilities. People maybe who never had a chance to go to a prom night. And so she's going to work on that. So Ian, she could use some help with that. It's exciting to see when somebody answers the call in their life, it's exciting to see them catch fire. And I'm telling you, you'll feel so good if you answer that call in your life and get involved, whether it's a little thing or a great big thing. But that was how, you know, Jesus just walked along and told his Philip, follow me. Come on, follow me. Philip grabbed Nathaniel. Come on. So God may be calling you to do something. Bible tells all of us that we are all ambassadors of Christ, and every one of us has a responsibility to preach the ministry of reconciliation. We are to implore people. We are to beg them to be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. Everybody has that responsibility. Bible makes that clear. But the Holy Spirit also gives us gifts, also calls us to get involved in other things. So, ring, ring, God is calling you. And if somebody says, you're crazy, why are you doing this? You look them in the eye and you say, because when God, the creator of the whole universe, calls you, how can you say no? Lonnie couldn't. Runs a giveaway program here. I could go around and point out here, you know, we have a very healthy church because we have great volunteer commitment. But the call never stops. It always continues on and on and on. When we're done with one thing, God calls us to do something else. So, step out in faith and leave the results up to God. God loves you, and so do I.